This meeting is now being recorded.
So welcome to the IDN Guidelines Working Group meeting on 8th of December 2016. We have Mats and Dennis on the call and myself, Sarmad. So over to you, Mats.
Thank you so much. We from last meeting, we have a few tasks that we are supposed to do. First task on Sarmad was to find out if there are existing lists of homoglyphs which can be referenced. And Sarmad sent an extensive list of references, and I copied those into my contribution, which is the second item. And Sarmad, do you think there might be more things that could be referenced, or do you think this is more or less an extensive list of references?
Right. So I basically shared multiple sources, and I think of these two are of reasonable, I guess, value in that sense that they're comprehensive, but that's something we still need to review, I guess, before we finalize. And those are the two sources from the Unicode. So one is confusables.txt and the other one is intentional.txt. So the confusables.txt is very large because it has a somewhat loose definition of what homoglyphs are. Intentional.txt is very conservative. I think probably what we need would be somewhere in the middle, but I would say closer to intentional.txt. So what I had suggested was that if these references look reasonable to the working group, then maybe I can go back and do a review of these, of maybe intentional.txt or also confusable.txt, and come back with some more detailed feedback on whether this meets the possible criteria we may want to finalize on. So I've not done a very detailed analysis of the content, and that, as I said, still needs to be done, but I was waiting for our call to get maybe some feedback from everybody here before I embarked on that. So I think that's where we are. And if you look at those two files, you'll see the difference. Confusables.txt also has uppercase, and it has things which are not in MS, not in probably IDNA 2008 standard. So it has it's a much larger set in that sense, I guess. In any case, I think we should probably need to discuss this here and then find out how to move forward. Thank you.
Yeah. So one possibility would, of course, be to create something from the confusable by removing everything which is non-IDN, is not permitted in IDN 2008. I'm not sure if we should do that, or if we should leave it to the implementers to themselves go through it. Dennis, please.
Thank you, Matt. Yes, a couple of points. Well, first of all, I agree with Sarmat that, well, let me backtrack. I mean, if we are going down the path of having a recommendation that regarding homoglyphs and confusables, we ought to have a authoritative reference source so that radiographers can the recommendation is actionable, right? And we can point to a authoritative reference. And my preference would be a reference from IETF or UNICO, and last would be ICANN. I guess, all right, if there is no such a reference from these two organizations. And the second one is, I agree with Sarma that the Confusables is a most extensive and very inclusive source of homoglyphs that includes mathematical signs, uppercases, even Confusables within Latin script, right? As I was pointing out, the lowercase L with number one and zero with letter O. So, and I don't think we want to create these type of quote unquote variants. So, I think somewhere in the middle between intentional and confusable is, I think it would be the right balance, and I agree with Sarma as well that the reference is going to look like more like an expanded list of the intentional rather than as closer to what confusables dot text is. Thank you.
The both of them, they contain code points that are not permitted in IDN 2008. And so one could, of course, make a subset of it, but I'm not sure it has any meaning to do that.
Right, Matt, yes, you're right. There are some characters that are not p-valid. For example, exclamation mark would be one of it. So, yes, we need to qualify these references, I guess where we are. But I think the question is, do we start with confusable and start removing code points, or we start with intentional and we start adding more?
Right. This is Ahmad. I think fully concur with what Dennis is saying, is that as a working group, obviously, I think it's probably probably not going to be very easy for us to define a set. So we can most likely refer to one which is already defined by a third party, as Dennis said, either by Unicode or IETF. So what I was actually suggesting was that I go and just do a verification pass rather than a definition pass to see where intentional is and whether that meets the criteria, and report back to the working group on at least on my analysis. And then for confusables, I guess what I could do is I could go to confusables and subtract out anything which is outside IDNA 2008. That should be reasonably straightforward to do. And then whatever is left, whether that meets the criteria or is that too liberal. From what I see in confusables, they may be going beyond homoglyph and going into the similar code point territory, which is becomes a little fuzzy, whereas I think what we want to limit ourselves is probably just homoglyphs, more strictly homoglyphs, and that's why I was saying intentional may be actually a better choice. I guess one, what I was saying was that I would do a verification analysis, verification-oriented analysis, and not like a derivation kind of analysis, so that, you know, we don't tamper with the authoritative sources, just pick one. That was what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Yes, and if intentional, if clean down, I mean, remove all non-IBM 2008 characters, there are not very much left, I think. Dennis?
Yes, I just want to make a comment about homoglyphs. And just want to point out so that we are on the same page. So the glyph is just the representation of a code point. And Unicode has been very clear that they do not do standards on glyphs. They do standards on code points. And glyphs are just a representation that these application providers decide how to represent a specific code point, and as such, you have different typefaces. And whether two code points are homoglyphs of each other, that depends on what the typeface you are selecting and the font size as well. So if we go down the path of defining a homoglyph set, that would not solve all the problems, right? Because typefaces evolve over time, and they come up with new calligraphies, and we won't be able to solve for 100% of the cases, but just a subset of it. And I just want to point out so that we are clear that we are not going to remove all the problems, but just a subset of it. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is not an exact science. There are
right.
cases that are very clear homoglyphs, such as Cyrillic small letter G and Latin small letter F. Very clear homoglyphs. And then from that, one end of the scale, then slowly the cases are less and less clear. In some fonts or typefaces, there are homoglyphs, and others they're not, and there are small differences that may be hard to detect, and et cetera. And moving along, we finally move to cases that are clearly not homoglyphs. So independent on where you draw the line, you have border cases. And then one approach is to say, no, we don't care about homoglyphs. I don't think that's an acceptable solution. We have to raise the issue, but not necessarily define all the homoglyph pairs or triplets or whatever they are, but rather point at the issue and point at sources that could be used to resolve the issues, and mandate that you must do analysis, not the exact algorithm for finding the homoglyph. I'm not sure
right.
if we should for each. Yes. Come on, please.
Right. So one thing I could do is I could go back to both confusables.txt and intentional.txt and filter out the non-IDNA 2008, those characters which are disallowed in IDNA 2008, and bring in the list with that filtered, bring in the filtered list, and then I guess we can all look at it and see how we want to go forward.
I think that's a good first step. That should be quite a reasonable task to do. It shouldn't be too complex. Okay. The second task in the task list was to divide the recommendation of harmonization of IARs into three recommendations, explaining harmonization, address cross-tip imagistic variants, and address within space variants caused by two different LDRs. Well, I tried to rewrite the text, and that is what is presented in front of us, and that is the same text as I sent out to the list, unless Ahmad has done any editing in the text. I guess you haven't. Dennis, please, have you read the text? Have you any reflections on it? This is my text. I want you to start.
Matt, yes, I read the text, and so this is my reaction to it. So first and foremost, I think we need a definition of what homologs are. Second, we have to be very clear as to what the scope is and the reference, authoritative reference that we're going to use to point to ratio operators to in order to make this analysis, right? We have to make an analysis based on something, and this something is that we were discussing a few minutes ago. What is a good authoritative reference? Second, the scope. As I mentioned, and I think that will derive from what the reference is, right? I don't think we are talking about the homoglyphs or visually similar characters that exist within the Latin character set, and we have to be very clear as to scoping those out. And also, I think it's a little bit extensive. The text. I don't think we want to put all of this into the recommendation, and maybe breaking it down into the actual recommendation, and maybe more as a narrative in a different section. Because I was confused about why are we bringing the reference to the root zone work where it's not actionable, right? We're saying you may use root zone work, but please know that it's not complete. So it's kind of a conflict in there, and maybe it's up for you set up rate trees for confusion. So I think we need to work on that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that the text is very long. And as I interpret you, you think it's a missing definition of homoglyph in the beginning. And I agree with you. The reason why the text about the root zone work came in there was because we talked about it. But I agree with you that it's maybe not the best way it shouldn't be there. When you refer to the root zone work, it could be a point that it's not fully applicable for the 2 days. Maybe not. It may be up to the registered operator to find out.
Yes, but so on that point, if you do that, if you let registry operators go and find your own sources, you pretty much end up with different interpretation as to what homologues are going to be. And I don't think we want that. At the very least, we define this recommendation and we ought to have the reference. Otherwise, it will be difficult to argue with a registry operator why they didn't include one set of homoglyphs and not why they included one and not others. I think that I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. Because they will always say, oh, I found this reference and that's what I use, and in that reference, these characters didn't exist. And then it becomes unenforceable. I mean, you will not be able to enforce this recommendation.
Right. I again agree with what Dennis is saying. And basically, it is, I think, okay to use multiple sources. But if you're using multiple sources, then the only way we can do it is do a union of those sources, not a choice between them, because then it doesn't remain enforceable. So if we are going to use RootZone and maybe, let's say, intentional.txt, then we, I think, have to be clear that we say that any code points which are identified as homoglyphs in in either of these, or union of those, is something which can be enforced. I would probably defer to more analysis of confusables and intentional.txt before coming back and saying, you know, whether we need an alternate source or whether those sources are sufficient. So that's one point. The second point was that the challenge is going to come when we are looking at within script, because for within script we are not only looking at homoglyphs, but also variants. And from what I understand, I think RootZone work is going to be the only authoritative source for variants for within script. I am not aware of any other work which is covers within script variants for all the scripts. Of course, there is separate work for Chinese through CDNC, but in any case, beyond that, I'm not really aware of any authoritative work for variants. So for variants, I think to some extent we will have to depend on the RootZone work, even though that's not comprehensive enough, as we all understand, for the second level. So that's something we probably need to discuss and see how to manage. Thank you.
I hope I didn't give the impression that I didn't want to have point out some sources. That's not what I meant. I only meant that the explanation, the description here that that the RootZone only concerns, RootZone work only concerns characters, not punctuations or digits. That text should be left out. And to be left to the register operator to understand that is a limitation of the retail work. But I think, I mean, if we can find the sources, of course, we want that, definitely. But I think this confusable, this seems to include also variants, because it has pairs from the same Unicode script, several. So it looks like they have variants too, or some kind of variant. Dennis, do you want to need to rework the text, or do you want to do that? You want to attack the text? And,
I think we need to work first on definitions and the reference that we want to use before we go ahead and finalize the recommendation. I think as a working group, we have to do an analysis on what reference we're going to use to include in the recommendation, and that we should do first. And then we can go back and say, okay, this is what we need to say about this.
Well, the first step is then that Samad, he has volunteered to make a IBM relevant subset of the intentional and confusables. And I don't know if we should try to find other sources. I don't think that we will find other sources in Unicode, and I don't think that we will find any other sources in IETF. We will go elsewhere and look for sources. Has anyone else done any work that is relevant for our work? You think so, Ahmad?
So this is this is Ahmad. So as far as the homoglyphic analysis is concerned, I've asked around, and the only sources I found, I put those in the email. So this is really it. This is really the work which has been published. There's more work, but, the question is whether that's authoritative or not. That's the issue.
So the only alternative would then be a deep investigation. I don't think that we have resources for that. So we have the resources that we have, and let's see what the subset will give us, and then try to formulate some recommendations based on those sources. Do you agree on that, Dennis?
Sorry, Mats, could you come again?
Yeah, that we let Ahmad do the extracting of the IBM 2008 relevant code points or pairs from the two sources, and then we look at those and create a recommendation based on those.
Yeah, that's a good starting point.
Yes. Okay. Let's do that. So then you have an important task, Samad. Let's go through the third. Yes, Samad.
No, I was just.
Okay.
Saying that that's okay. go ahead and do that and share it with the list.
Yeah, thank you. And then the third one was write a new recommendation on how to address existing registrations which are not harmonized, giving flexibility to registrants. Something which Carl has done. Let's do it. Well, in principle, I think the text looks good, but I mean, this registration policy, where can you find that? And also, I mean, the changes are to be published on the registry's website. I think it's quite vague in that time. How can you be sure that you really be able to find the information about the TLD? Dennis, what do you think?
I think it's fine. I don't find anything. What you mentioned, the publishing, that would be bullet C, right? Publish relevant changes to the TLD registration policy at a publicly accessible location.
Just because it's publicly accessible doesn't mean that you find it.
I don't understand. So you're saying
I mean, you can put it somewhere. I mean, if you have the URL, you will get it. But you don't have the URL. It's accessible, but you don't find it. You understand what I mean? Technically accessible, but you don't find it.
Right. But, I mean, this is a blanket recommendation to all registry operators, so each one of those, they will have to.
Maybe someone has a comment there. Please, someone.
So I have two comments. One is that maybe there is something implicit in here, but I think. Somehow the registrants who do have such registrations probably may need to be sort of notified that there is a potential issue with the registration. That may be a useful thing to do to their renewals and those sort of issues. So I'm not sure whether that's a. Otherwise, just posting the policy and not really notifying the users may not inform or forewarn the users appropriately because they may not actually come and look at this policy. So that was one thing. And one of the things we talked about last time was the possibility of making this a bit time-bound. I'm not really sure whether that's easily possible or not, but in any case, I wanted to bring that up again for discussion since it was something we were discussing from last time. Thank you.
I have a question to you, Samad. The registration policy, is that a defined document?
Well, so if I understand you correctly, registration policy may announce that something may not be available in the future if something is homoglyphic. But I think what we are talking about are registrations which are currently in place. I think that is what I was referring to. Thank you.
Yeah, well, what I mean is they have to publish things. But, as I can define the registration policy in such a way that they're always accessible in a real sense. I mean, that you can always find them. Or you have to be guestworking and okay, what do they call registration policy in this for this TLD, and where can they have put it?
I think what I am actually finding it hard to understand you. Your voice is not coming up clearly, I guess, on my end. But in any case, I think Dennis has a comment, so let's, I guess, hear from him.
Please, Dennis. Is it better now with my voice?
Yes, I just wanted to go back to wanted to go back to Sarmat's comment on the notification, and I think that's something we I agree with that. I think that's something similar we did with prior version of the guidelines when we were pointing out the transition of IDNA 2003 and 2008 where certain coupons were not going to be support anymore. So we wanted to warn registrants through registrars because ComNet, we're not thick, so we don't know who the registrants are, so we have to go through the registrars so that they notify their registrants that so the coupons may not work in the future. I mean, it's a slightly different case, but I think the point is making that certain coupons may not work in the future, so you better do something about those domain names that you have, right? I've seen there's precedent as to doing such notifications where there are something is happening to existing registrations. But I, at the same time, I'm also cognizant of the fact of now that we have hundreds of TLDs and register operators, everybody, basically registers aren't going to be spammed with all these notifications. So I'm not fully understand how that would work without annoying registrars getting such notices from the registry operators, and at the same time, how would that be actionable from the registrar to the registrant who will actually send the notes out? So just wanted to point out there, but I don't fully grasp how that would be executed.
So this is Arman. I think this is really going to be a tough one because there are a couple of problems which are slightly different from the transition issue. In this particular case, the challenge is that we're talking about two homoglyphic strings which are both registered. On one hand, we want to point out to them that there is a potential security issue because of that. But on the other hand, I don't think we can, as a registry, pick one or the other and say that, you know, one is going to close down and other is not going to close down. So it's hard to sort of see how to take this forward, since it's not possible to perhaps pick one or the other, that's why I was actually suggesting that informing the registrar that there is a potential security issue may be a better way of doing it, and then they can decide at renewal time whether they want to continue to use that particular name. Obviously, a more drastic step could be that both such registrations be not renewable, but again, that, as I said, is a much more drastic step, and so I think that's something we probably need to discuss and see how to address. Just what I was saying was just publishing something as a revised registration policy in a publicly accessible location may not be sufficient because registrant may not be able to understand that that change really reflects on his or her particular registration. So that's where I see a possible gap. Thank you.
I really agree with you, Samad. The TLD must inform the registrants about the issue. Can you hear me well?
Yes, now very well, thank you.
Yes, okay. So I think that must be introduced into the text. My question that I've asked is, I mean, this registration policy, is that a well-defined document that you can always find for the registry or the TLD?
I am actually not sure whether that is something which is a requirement, that it may know, or otherwise I can actually go and check.
Because if we require that it's publicly accessible, and the only thing is that you can use, I mean, it's accessible by HTTP, but they hide it, then it's no use. So I think that's a problem. And also you raised, Samad, we had a discussion last time about time, that we should give them some time to do the harmonization analysis, and which could result then in that some code points are deprecated. And I think that we should introduce that somewhere here. That they have some, they should make sure that they take actions before some date. Samad?
I think the as far as the time bound thing was concerned, I was, referring to the registrations themselves and not doing the analysis. I think it's probably a good idea to also suggest something for the analysis as well. I was basically referring to the possibility, and that may not actually be a possibility, depending on how we would want to recommend it, that, for example, two strings which are homoglyphic, one in Latin and one in Cyrillic, for example, eventually the ideal case would be that such strings should not exist, coexist in a zone. And after some time, the idea was to say that after a certain time, that it should be something which should be achieved for each zone. I'm not really sure whether existing registrations can be retired in that context. That obviously is a business decision, if those are not removed, there is a sustained security issue which we have to live with. So that's something which we need to discuss on. That do we leave it to the registries to decide it, or are we binding it on them within a certain time that such security issues must be, in a way, cleansed from the zone? Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is a very hard question. It's very harsh to remove from the zone, but on the other hand, it's maybe not good to have it there forever.
What I'm saying. You know, it's a very tough question.
Yeah. Okay. Carl is not here. Should we try to update this text, Dennis? Or should we wait the next meeting?
Yeah, I think we should wait. I think we discussed the issues, and we need to think about it. I mean, all the what we just talked about, how to do the notification, the implications, what the actual notification should say, right? In that sense, we need to give registry operators some guidance as to what exactly they need to accomplish.
Okay, we have a fourth task, homework, that was on Edmund. Has Edmund sent in the name?
Edmund's, I think, at the IGF. He's not. He wasn't there in the previous meeting, and he's not sent in any revisions. So there's no change in what he proposed earlier.
Okay. So. Then I suggest that we it's only 5 minutes left, so that we postpone things to next meeting. That will be in one.
Okay,
week.
So right. So just to remind ourselves, I guess, of next steps. From what I understand, there's only one piece of homework, and that's for me to review and, I guess, filter out disallowed characters from confusables.txt and intentional.txt and recirculate those lists to the working group. Is there any other thing we want to do?
Well, we have had extensive discussion about both mine and Carl's contributions, and I think that the we have a homework of on us to read through it again and have and continue the discussion next time. And my text based on what you can grasp out from those sources, and the call text based on what we think after have thought about it a little bit more.
Right. We are meeting once more on 15th before we break for the holidays?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dennis, do you have another opinion?
Nope. I'm good.
For me, we could even have it on 22nd, but maybe that's it's better to break and continue in January. What do you think, Dennis?
I'm going to work until the 23rd, so I'm good with a December 22 meeting. That's fine with me. I'm going to be off the following week, but then I'll come back in January. So 22, fine. The next one, I will be off and then resume in January.
And Samad, what's your vacation plan?
I am available, so no issues from my end. So I guess we can then talk about meeting again on 22nd when we meet next week and get. But I will also circulate the possibility over email when I circulate the summary of this meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Then talk to you next week. Thank you very much, Ahmad. Thank you, Dennis. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mats. Bye, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.